This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This one is number 39-5, being part 5 of the series that replays the town hall forum conducted by Governor Deval Patrick at the Franklin Senior Center on Sunday, May 17th. This particular segment continues the Q&A session with Christy, who's concerned about the whole child in Chapter 70 funding, and Laura, who talks about the Mass Academy for Math and Science, which is a cooperative venture with WPI. Governor Patrick addresses the urban legend about this room full of cash at the State House, and if you just get him in a good mood, it's there for the taking. It's not. And he asks the question, are you willing to contribute more to the status quo? So, here we go with this segment.
Who's number three? Come on, I told you you had to remember.
When you were running for governor, you said you were felt very strong about the whole child. And I talked to that comment because a lot of us believe also in the whole child. Every academics are very important for children, but some students can't access all their academics if the whole child is not prepared to do that. In the last few years, since before this recession began, we have been making dramatic cuts to the school systems. And oftentimes, people in social services, the social emotional health of these children are not being supported because we don't have the funds and we have money to go to the military. And it's very upsetting to the teachers who we can't help the students get everything they need, and they're coming to us with significant needs. Seeing what's happening now to the school system, we have sort of more cuts coming from it. Pink slips, cuts all over the place are happening. And I'm hearing the stimulus money now is not necessarily earmarked just for education. I don't think that's true. So I'm wondering, if we don't, and I was going to say what you just said, if we don't put money forward for this now, we're going to see the students not only not excelling as much as they could, but they're going to be going down the wrong road, and we're going to be paying for them through judicial services later on, or more people who just don't get jobs, they just can't function, they're not going to be positive members of our society. So what is the stimulus money? Is it
Well, the question, I think what you're getting a lot of stuff in there. Can I circle around to the stimulus one? First of all, just on education, Christy, it's the Chapter 70 is the one thing we have not cut while the bottom was falling out this year. And by the way, because of its relative size in that pie chart, that has meant that was no small thing when everything else was coming. It's meant, frankly, that the burden has been elsewhere. We propose to fund Chapter 70 next year at the current level, which, is pretty good, but not great. Well, it's not that Chapter 70 was adequate to begin with, but when you consider that costs are going up while the funding is being maintained, that's impractical. I'm not sure about here in Franklin, but in practical terms, in some places, that's a reduction in actual capacity, if you will. The stimulus money, every school district gets some money from the federal stimulus bill, from the education spend. Most of it is programmed, meaning it's most of it is Title I or IDEA, special ed money. And then the money that was available for our discretion had first to be used to assure that whatever the state's funding formula was matched, and that's the Chapter 70 formula. So towns got different amounts depending on what would happen if we flatline funding from in FY10 and where that would leave them in relation to the foundation formula. So we use that money to close the gap. And it's the money we got is supposed to last us for 2.5 years. So we got to try to make it last for 2.5 years, and that's how it's worked.
So the education earmarked money is still in education.
Yes. Now there is a portion of what is called the state stabilization fund, or maybe the portion of the education money is called state stabilization, which can be used for any budget related need, municipal or state. And we have used that all over the place. Some of it for public safety, some for education, some in higher ed. Remember the news about the fees going up at the University of Massachusetts, and so we put some money into public higher ed to try to keep the fees moderated for next year, because that was going to have an impact on affordability for students of that sort of thing. But that's part, you know, when I was talking earlier about the blended approach cuts, some rainy day funds, some stimulus money, that's been all a part of that. And then the revenue part, which I think sounds like you think new revenue for schools is wise.
We need something. We've made significant cuts through the years. So we need to get back what we lost years ago. Thank you.
Were you number four?
Yeah,
I'm Laura. Laura?
You're on.
I think it's on.
I'm here from Blackstone, and I'm here representing my son, Jesse Vaughn. I'd like to suggest a solution, but it may be something also that we need to look at as far as how this education fund item is funded. I'm referring to a funding for Massachusetts Academy of Math and Science, presented by Worcester Polytech Institute.
Yes.
When you sent the budget to the House, it was originally presented in the committee, and then it went under this file by several of the representatives of the state, and the money was restored to the budget in the House. This is a school, a public high school that's been in existence since 1993. There's 100 students that go to the school, 50 students in the 11th grade, and 50 in the 12th grade. It's an exam school, and it's a school that works with students that have high capabilities in math and science. They're considered the future leaders in the technology and the teaching profession in the state. The line item has always been separate from the Chapter 70 fund in education. The state provides $1.2 million a year for the students. Worcester Polytech Institute provides over $2 million. Because this item isn't funded, these students now need to return to the ascending communities. So no money's been saved in the state budget. Those students still have to be able to make a spend home. In addition, we're losing over $2 million in subsidies from Worcester Polytech.
Does Worcester Polytech use the school choice program, or is it direct?
No, this program was prepared in 1993 by Senator Chase, who worked on the committee. In addition to losing the $2.1 million in funding, the state will also lose over 5,000 hours of community service students perform every year. And the academy itself, they do a minimum of 50 outreach projects a year into the community to support science, technology, and to entice young children and young adults into those areas. So I'm suggesting the school needs to be funded. There's no money to the state, but there's money to be made.
Well, first of all, you don't have to persuade me about the strength of the program. I know about it, and congratulations. Is it Jesse? Congratulations. I see you wearing an Are You Ready t-shirt. You are ready. I could quarrel with you, but my heart wouldn't be in it about whether you're actually saving money. So the reason I asked the question about the school choice formula, because right now, if you live in Franklin, you go to school in Mansfield, then the school choice formula has a certain amount of dollars traveled with you to Mansfield. I think that's right. Is that right? And so if it would be true that there wouldn't be a savings by cutting that line item if the money followed the student. If the money does not follow the student, there isn't a net savings. But I think that the more compelling question is, sort of goes back to these what we've been talking about over here. In the long term, is it wise? In the long term, is it wise? And that for me is a very hard one to quarrel with. But I do want to be clear. There is not, just so everybody knows, there's an urban legend. I'm not suggesting this with you, but there's an urban legend that there's a room full of cash back at the State House. I have the key. And you just have to get me in a good mood, and then I will write a check. There isn't. That $9 billion hole is real. And so it's and it really does beg the question, and we've been talking about it on this side of the room as we move over. Are you ready to borrow off your T-shirt there for new revenue? And I would ask the question, I just brought the question, I know we've got 5, 6, and 7 to get to in another round. Are you willing to contribute more to the status quo? Because that's what the change before revenue point is about. Are we going to fix this pension system? Are we going to fix our ethics rules? Are we going to straighten out our transportation system? Are we going to start doing some things differently? Are we going to look into the overlap in public health areas? Are we going to be smarter about the money and insist on that? And are we going to try to get as much of that in place before I have to sign that budget at the end of next month? I think there's a lot of appetite for a serious conversation about the revenue sources for Worcester Polytechnic and other important But I do think, and I want to bring the conversation around to this point about what changes the public, not just the government, but the public ought to insist on before those proposals come to you and before you have to start writing those checks. Thank you.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, featuring John Schmidt, powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.